On this episode, we talk about how Apple photographed the recent Mac announcement. We talk about event photography and we bring back our recent photos.
It's Monday, November 6th, and this is the iPhonography Podcast. And my name is Greg McMillan, and I'm joined by my tired but esteemed co-host, Dave Bodner. Hello, David.
Hey, Greg. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good. I know you're tired because you just told me. Because you just had a race today, so.
Yep, still recovering from yesterday's race. So.
Or yesterday, sorry, yeah.
No, it's okay.
And so how long was that one again?
10 miles.
10 miles, yeah. Yeah, that's a long old haul.
Yeah, luckily lucked out with the great weather. Great weather. We're talking mid to upper 40s.
Well, that's
to the lower 50s.
Not bad.
So that's great. No, that's great. That is absolutely partially overcast, and it was just perfect weather.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. You don't get overheated or anything. So that's good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And real quick before we start on other things, you know, when people think it's too late in life to start something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though we both started podcast kind of late in life.
Yeah, we did.
But I'm in for racing. They consider over 40 to be the master's division.
Oh yeah.
That's a nice, of course, a nice way of saying old folks.
Yeah.
The four people who finished ahead of me in the master's division. I mean, literally I was kind of slow. I'm out of shape. I need to get in better shape. I finished 2 hours, 19 minutes. For 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The four people directly in front of me, basically, they finished 2 minutes ahead of me. And over 10 miles, that's, you know, it adds up where I didn't see these people. But
yeah,
they were four gentlemen ahead of me who were 81, 72, 74, and 71 years old.
I would just want to throw my shoes away. Oh, you know, God bless them. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of 81-year-old, you don't think of, I'm going to run a 10-mile race today.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife's uncle played hockey till he was probably 72, 73 years old.
Mm.
I mean, not competitive hockey, well, but it was pickup hockey or whatever. But he was throwing the blades on and away he went. You know, I gave it up probably 20 years ago. Just, you know, my lungs are not the greatest for a cold weather exercise like that.
Also falling on ice.
Pardon?
Falling on ice.
That doesn't tickle. Yeah.
No.
But, and my knees were. Like my knees are not the best from working on cement floors all these years too. So, but I mean, maybe I'm just out of shape. I don't know.
like we said, and just kind of bringing this back for photography. If you're like, well, you know, I just have an iPhone or I'm just listening and, you know, I say, no, you know, if it's something that you're interested in, go for it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. And don't think these young kids and no, try it.
Yeah, because you know what? You're going to get older and then you'll regret it.
Exactly.
You could always regret not trying it. So
very true. Very true.
But we got an interesting topic tonight that, mm-hmm. that you actually came up with. And I thought, yeah, this could be a pretty good conversation. And that is event photography. But before we dig into that, speaking of events, we're going to just touch on real briefly the Apple event that was a few days ago, last week, I guess, October 30th, and where they introduced the new M3 line of chipsets and a new MacBook Pro, as well as the M3 iMac, the 24-inch iMac with an M3. And you know, we're not going to go on about the computers they talked about. The heck that.
But well, not only that, it was a speed bump.
Yeah.
You know, there were some encoding, decoding things that's hard coded in, but pretty much you got a speed bump So you're getting faster computer, same price you had before, new chip. Other than that, I mean,
nothing groundbreaking.
If you were like, hey, they have an update that iMac in 2 years, maybe I'll hold off. Well, yeah, it's, you know, if you're
if you're looking for a really nice iMac, I have the 24 inch iMac, but with the M1 chip, and I really like it. It's got a great screen, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And so the M3 chip is really going to make that thing go. But what really impressed us was the fact that they shot this whole thing. It was about a half hour presentation, and it was all shot on the iPhone 15 Pro. And that's pretty cool because it was all done basically at night in darker environments. Mm-hmm. Because the theme of it was scary fast. And it was put out the night before Halloween. It was but I mean, the reason everything was so dark is because of the new MacBook Pro that they released in a space black color, which is kind of cool, I guess. But the fact that they shot this whole thing on the iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max or whatever, they probably used dozens of iPhones in the production.
I think they said 50.
50, yeah. 50, okay, yeah. Well, that's... Well, you know what? I'll bet you they have a few laying around.
They probably do, yeah.
But, you know, it's not like they just threw the iPhone on a gimbal and walked around. No, they had these great big rigs and jibs and all this other stuff. I mean, there's so many different kinds of pieces of hardware that they would use for this. It basically like an LA production team come in and all they did was they stuck iPhones in their equipment, and that's what they did. You know, and they're filming from the phone right onto hard drives and all this stuff. But I think the idea, in my opinion, was just to flex the muscle of the iPhone and see what it could do, to show what it could do.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that I can recall, and maybe, I don't know, Dave, if you have seen this before or not, but they actually showed behind the scenes footage. In fact, they put a video out on YouTube on the Apple TV channel about it.
Yeah, just a quick little 2-minute one. But no, I think this is the first time because since it's USB-C for the Pro and the Pro Max, and you can go directly to an external hard drive, and you can do it in, and I keep on forgetting the term, it isn't Pro Raw, it's the video version of that, which is kind of a flat, I forget the term.
Apple.
It's an industry term, though. But basically, it's basically for photographers, it's the equivalent of RAW, where it's flat, the color is completely flat, but you can then add your own color. And that's how professional is done. If you're doing professional, like someone's paying you thank you.
Yeah.
Someone's paying you a lot of money, you're not going to do it in just MP4.
No, that's right.
You know, you're not going to do it in MP4 or other, you're going to do it in log, and then you're going to import it into whatever you want to, and then apply the coloring across whatever you're doing to make it consistent so you can get the right color. You can tweak it a little bit more. Like you said, similar to, you're going to shoot this in RAW, and you have a lot more power and adjustability than shooting in HEIF or JPEG. Same thing here.
Yeah.
This is the first camera they can shoot in log directly to an external hard drive, and then take that external hard drive, plug it into an external part of a Mac. That way you don't have to download or transfer. You just basically, you're working
right off the drive.
Yeah, it's literally sneaker. Now it's like, okay, here's the footage. Plug it into the, USB FireWire for your MacBook and MacBook
Pro. And they showed that in the iPhone announcement, right?
Yeah.
And so that's basically what they were doing, of course. But these rigs that they had were... And the lighting and all that stuff, it was a major production.
Oh, yeah.
And they even used drones. In this, so they used these bigger drones with iPhones attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was really crazy. I'll put a link in the show notes for the video on YouTube, the Apple behind the scenes video. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's really cool. It's amazing to see how they did it. You know, what they show of it, but
right.
I'd like to see them put a good hour to 2 hour long video out about all this stuff, you know, not just a few scenes, but, you know, basically show everybody and, how they did it.
Well, this is also, if you're familiar with the term eating your own dog food, because, well, the Apple said, this is a pro phone.
Oh, right. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They basically said, we don't want you to use this camera, which is a lot of these cameras are, you don't get the lens. It's here's a $4,000, $7,000, whatever camera body.
Yeah.
And you get the lens separate and you get it all set up and you do your own little thing. You shoot it and you do, well, instead of that, use this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but do everything else the same, including here's the Mac. I'm sure they did it on the new MacBook Pro, or maybe in the older one. And they did everything on the iPhone and the MacBook Pro, and they produced it. And if you look at it, it does not look amateur hour.
Oh, no.
So basically, they're telling professionals, if you have a place where maybe you don't want to in your production spend to rent a camera from somewhere, you can use the iPhone to do the video, and it just integrates into the rest. So this is them kind of going for that prosumer high-end market there where,
and, you know, and some people would think, okay, well, yeah, they had all this equipment and all these lights and everything else. Well, yes, because that's part of a production,
right?
You know, they would have all the same everything if they were using a whatever $10,000, $20,000 red camera or whatever, you know, those big cameras that they can use, they would still have all that stuff. All they're doing is swapping the big cameras out for an iPhone.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Shane Mostyn would say, Robert's your mother's brother. There you go. But they're going to have all this equipment. Sure. They're going to have all these big banks of lights and everything else, but, you know, they would shoot it in, like you say, the Apple ProRes log or whatever it is, and then do all the post work with you know, LUTs and all that stuff to get it to look the way they want it. And yeah, it's gonna look great. And I think what really kind of caught my eye was the fact that they used the app called
Black Magic. Yeah.
It's a free video camera app,
which
for
is
the
shocking.
iPhone, and that's what they use to shoot it.
Yeah,
because the, you know, the native camera app's not going to give them the control they need for a production like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes without saying,
right?
And you know, Filmic Pro would have been a very viable solution, but Blackmagic just put this app out a few weeks ago, and it was really nice to see Apple, you know, include that in some of their behind the scenes stuff. So,
well, I would also say with Blackmagic, I believe, and I'm looking it up here, they make some pretty high end cameras too.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. And so, they're also the team behind DaVinci Resolve.
So yeah. So, I mean, you look at their cameras, like here's the new Blackmagic Cinema Camera 6K. It's a full frame sensor for $2,600. So, I mean, but I mean, they have, like, here's a cinema, another one that's near $2,600, and their video hub, which is $10,000, and their panels and everything else. You know, so, like, you're talking a high-end company who knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
and you know, Apple knows what they're doing, too.
Yes.
Whether it was a group at Apple that does these productions, or they have production companies come in and do it, I'm not sure which it is. I think it's more like they have companies come in and do this kind of thing. But, I mean, it was pretty well done. And I had no idea when I first watched this that it was all done on the iPhone. So it was pretty cool.
Wow.
So Now we are going to get on to some talk about event photography. So, you know, events could be anything from a wedding, you know, a kid's recital at school. It could be, you know, like Dave, you've gone to wrestling mm-hmm. events. It could be concerts. It could be birthday parties. But like you said, when we were talking about this just before we recorded, this is the time of year where people get together, you know, for different kinds of holidays. And hey, you want to take pictures. You want to take some video. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come up with these tips that could be helpful in trying to put this stuff all together. So do you want to start us off, Dave?
Sure. Sure. Well, first one is use portrait mode for up close shots of people. The background blur will make them stand out. And one nice thing is if you have a new-ish, we're even going back to the 13, the mm-hmm. 13 Pro. I'm assuming it's the same on the 13, I think. But you can adjust the amount of blur after the fact.
Yeah.
And you can actually adjust what you're focusing after the fact on the portrait with iOS 17.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the 12 Pro might even be capable of that, Dave, because it had the LiDAR sensor as well.
Okay. So now the one suggestion I would have is the nice thing is with the portrait mode, it can be multiple people you want to do that with. You know, if you have 2-3 people, you have someone holding a kid, something else going on. If you have the Pro with the LiDAR, it doesn't necessarily even have to be a person. You know, if you have some decorations out, like a table setting, or you're making a big meal, let's say in the U.S. for Thanksgiving, you have the turkey, which is the big deal.
Yeah.
You can take a shot of the turkey itself and the food around it and use that. But you may want to make the blur a little bit less.
Yeah. Kind of think about that. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like when you do cinematic video, you got to be careful how much blur you apply to the, and you got to let the scene kind of determine how much blur you put in, right? So the same would go with a portrait mode photo. You know, you don't want to have a whole ton of blur if you've got a lot of different elements that are close together. Like when I say close together, I mean behind each other, in front of each other. Because if you put too much blur, it will look blatantly off, you know, for lack of better words, you know what I mean?
Not only can it look off, it can just distract.
Yeah.
People are saying, oh, I obviously see that's portrait mode and I can see the blur behind you. And they're not focusing on the object. And also, portrait mode is better. It's still not perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
So if your blur is a little overemphasized, like we both wear glasses, it still has trouble with glasses.
Yeah.
You know,
it could break an image.
Exactly. Or if you're taking a picture and your arm's not next to your body, it has a problem with the in-between part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it's a little strong, it could really show those off. Hopefully they're going to get better and better and better. It's better than it was when it was first introduced with the, I believe, the 6S
portrait mode. Seven plus. Okay. I think, yeah.
Okay. But way back then, we're talking a long time ago.
It's come a long way.
But still not perfect. But if you just lessen it a little bit, you can kind of cover up some of the hard areas. But it does make a nice little pop. Even if you don't do anything to make it even pop even more. One thing that does help, though, you can use additional software if you really want to make it pop, if you really want to make it stand out. Software like I use Photo Room, like on the Cadillac photo, where it will actually detect a subject. And you can make your background sepia, or you can make your background colored to kind of match the main subject. So you can do stylistically that way, but having in portrait mode will also help for that editing too.
Yeah, that's right. Portrait mode is a great process or a great tool to use for, mm-hmm. you know, at these events. Like if you're at a wedding and you want to, you know, get a picture of the bride, say, you know, use portrait mode and, you know, make her really stand out type of thing. Mm-hmm. So the next point is take wide shots to establish the scene and capture the ambiance. Make sure to hold your phone horizontally for landscape orientation. Now that could be more for video, but actually catching, you know, a wide shot, I guess landscape would be the best way to do it. But you know, it's you know, okay. So here's an example, not necessarily directly related to what we're talking about, but Rick Salmon was in Tanzania and he's taken just phones on these trips now. And when it comes to doing wildlife like that, like on the, you know, on the Serengeti or wherever it is he is, it's one thing to get a portrait of an animal close up, you know, that really makes a good image. But what he's like more into now is to show that animal in its environment. And he's taken wider shots to do that. So the phone does just fine with that. You know, he doesn't need to worry about, you know, having a 500 millimeter lens to get the animal's eyes in focus, mm-hmm. and everything else. He's showing the animal in its environment. And that's the same idea as at an event. You know, if you're at a concert, take a wide shot of the stage. You know, don't worry so mm-hmm. much just about the artist or whatever, but get a wide shot of the stage. And it kind of sets them the tone for what the event was all about. And I think the same would go for any event.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that I like to get a feel for when I'm going somewhere is the, I mean, if you zoom in on, like you said, zoom in only on the person doing it, mm-hmm. you know, even if you can get close enough or the zoom doesn't look too bad because, you know, 3X is not bad, 5X isn't bad, but it's still not like for a concert or an event or sporting event. It's still going to be pixelated, especially if there's movement. But to get a feel for the enormity of the event, mm-hmm. being able to see the crowd. And also with the crowd, you can sometimes get some, depending on the crowd and what they're wearing, you can get some really colorful shots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if you're behind people and you're looking forward, you know, you can see what different people are wearing. You can get a feel for the flow of the crowd. So having those wide shots, and for something like that, you know, it's still easier to do, even though, you know, TikTok, Instagram Reels, Facebook mm-hmm. Reels, YouTube Shorts, they all want you to go vertical these days. It's still easier to get that feel for enormity with a wide shot.
Yeah, that's right. So next is look for good lighting. Position people near windows or lamps for flattering illumination. Avoid having bright lights or windows beside or behind your subjects.
Yeah. And this is true whether, you know, mobile or not.
Oh, yeah.
And admittedly, fill flashes can only do so much. But if you have a bright light behind someone or like I said, a light or, you know, just a bright window, it doesn't have to be like sunlight, just a bright window. You can do stuff to fix exposure, but as you're trying to fix and bump up that dark exposure, you're going to introduce issues.
Yeah.
So if at all possible, now we understand sometimes you can't help it, you know. Sometimes they have a stage or someone sets something up and they have the window behind them. In that case, try to maybe zoom in a little bit more so you get more of the people, less of the background. Mm-hmm. Try portrait mode. Try to tap on the screen so you tap on the person so it focuses there. Or just lean into it and do a silhouette.
Yeah.
You know, if you literally can't, if it's literally set up or something set up and it's bright lights behind someone, try, you know, take the shot and you can always try editing it as a silhouette. And you may get something really impressive coming out, but, You know, if you're like, I wish I could do better, try it.
Yeah. And to your point about, you know, tapping to focus on the person, I would also suggest, like, this is something that I've run across at a concert. And not a big concert. It was just at the local theater house in town here. But these guys were, you know, with the lights and everything else, I found that if I tapped on their face and then dragged my finger down to decrease the exposure, it made a lot better photo. And mm-hmm. I think you came across the same thing at a wrestling event mm-hmm. when you know, it was these bright lights on the guys in the ring. Mm-hmm. And I remember you sent us a picture, and I think you said that you had to bring the exposure down to make them look not, you know, blown out.
Right. Because on stage or something's happening, because we know that, you know, not only are events happening, but holiday parties are happening this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone's lit, they light them. Let's say it's a company event, mm-hmm. end of year event, holiday event, whatever they light it for that person, which will probably blow out an iPhone camera.
Yeah.
You know, because they're lit. Well, like you said, if you just tap on the screen, drag it down, you can see what you can do to adjust it before you take the picture, because that will help you with any edits after the fact.
Yeah, that's right. So lighting, I think lighting is really important, especially when mm-hmm. it comes to a phone, because the phone's going to try to balance everything out, and you may not want right. that. What do we have here next? Shoot candids and moments of interaction, capture people laughing, chatting, and dancing. So, you were at a wedding in the summertime.
Right. And everyone's focused on, let's say, at a wedding, the bride and the groom. But a lot of times, especially, you know, figure if you're taking a picture at a family event, you're generally, well, you still may post it. Most people post it to Facebook because that's the way everyone shares photos for family events, it seems, or Instagram or something like that. But for the most part, it's going to be shared among the people there. You know, this is not really meant for public. So getting a little shot of a kid interacting with a grown up while something's happening off, because you know, stuff happens with kids, or even like at a holiday dinner, you know, or just a family get together, and you know, everyone's focused on that, on the main thing, but occasionally off on the corner of your eye, you'll see something. Now, of course, if it's something sensitive, obviously, don't take a picture. Usually, common sense. But you know, if it could be something where you take a photo and everyone goes, "Oh, that's so cute! I didn't even notice that was happening." Same thing with animals. If it's in a house,
mm-hmm.
you know,
at my son's wedding, there was kids that were off to the mm-hmm. side dancing, you know, just off on their own. And I remember I turned and I caught some of it on video, took pictures, mm-hmm. whatever. And because they're kids, I didn't put anything online. But I have those memories, right, mm-hmm. to share with, you know, people, their parents, whatever. And, you know, so that's, you know, candid moments, you know, just the whole, what's the word I'm looking for? It's what it's all about. Sometimes events are all about candid moments.
Exactly.
You know, you don't always want to have, you know, people posed and you know, you could tell that these are intentionally posed or whatever, but sometimes these candid things just make for really fun photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially, like I said, if you're at a concert, seeing someone react to what's happening on stage.
Yeah.
Like if you have a play, a school play that's happening, you know, seeing a parent react or seeing someone react to what's happening on stage, you know, that could be really interesting. That could be really interesting, especially if it is, let's say, a school play, which I know some schools have plays, you know, near the end of the semester, which we're getting close to for some people. And if you take a few pictures and you can go to the, you know, who's ever's putting on the play and say, well, you know, I took some of these photos here. Would you be interested to have these to share with the people on stage, or if they put a, I don't want, I almost said newsletter, but let's say they have a, you know, some way to communicate, oh, our school play, and they put a website out for it or something on the Facebook page, the school's Facebook page, and said, oh, here's some shots from the play. They may be interested in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're seeing things that they're, if they're school officials, they're concerned about what's happening with the play, what's happening on the stage, behind the stage, what's happening for crowd safety and everything else. But the little candid shot, you're going to miss.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of, that whole point kind of blends into our next point, Dave, which is?
Move around and shoot from different angles and heights.
Yeah.
Kneel down for a different perspective and shoot, if you can, from above the action.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone tends to shoot directly from their head, from their eye height.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get something from a low angle, or if you can get above, you can get a different perspective on things.
Yeah. Now, we don't want you people climbing ladders and trying to get a picture from above that way. But
No. But, you know, the amazing thing with the with the phones, with the iPhone, the stability's really good. And I would say, especially if you use a live photo where you can move it a little bit before and after, if you just kind of stick your hand up, take the photo, and you're not even seeing what you're taking a photo of.
Yeah.
But you take a couple photos with your hand up in the air.
And Dave's got his hand up in the air as he's talking.
I got my hand up in the air as I'm saying it. Yeah. Even though Greg's the only one seeing it. But, you know, you use that to get it up there, and you can get something out of it then. And you get that different perspective.
I think different points of view like that make for way more captivating photos. I mean, if you take a picture of your dog, and if you just took a picture from where you stand from eye level, and then you, if you got down to the dog's eye level and took the same shot, I think you could pretty well tell which one's going to be more captivating. Right. You know, it's going to grab your attention better. And now,
hopefully you can take a picture at your dog's level without your dog coming directly up to you and start licking your face.
Yeah.
Because that's what would happen with ours. And same thing with the cats. I have tried to take pictures and get down kind of get on their level, and they see that I have something, and they come right up to me like, oh, what you doing there?
Yeah.
Of course, that's also why it could help. One thing to remember, if you take the phone vertically for the camera and just kind of hold it down.
Yeah.
You know, because you can get low level, low angle there and just take a shot. When you flip it back upright, it'll correct the orientation.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, and it's, you know, still talking about pets here. They probably won't realize that that's what you're doing because their Hopefully attention not. Is on you and your face. Yeah. Right. And they do like eye contact and they, you know, you could have your phone down a foot off the floor and they won't be none the wiser. And that's when you're going to get some really, really cool stuff. The next one is something that it probably goes without saying, but use the grid lines to frame the shots with the rules of thirds in mind. Place key elements off center.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think anything ruins a shot like something like an event shot more so than, you know, just having a person right dead center of the screen. Even if it's, I mean, you never shouldn't say you never do. I think sometimes you probably would, but you probably don't often see like a field reporter in the center of the screen or I don't really watch the news that much. So
they tend to get right there in the center and they fill the frame. But I would say if you're it's still, and I'm going to take a thing here from Joe Ferreira from Tiny Shutter, but you need to have that tension in the photograph. You really lose that having something centered on. You know, your eye will just go right to the center and you'll ignore everything else. Now, there are some, I would say, if you're doing personal portrait, which normally is not event, that is great for that. But if, let's say, someone's on stage or something's happening, most of the time the focus is on the person. But if you just do a rule of thirds, you can bring some, let's say, see the crowd, see what's happening around them, make it look different, make it look interesting. And that way it's just not straight in the middle.
Yeah.
And let's say if you honestly, again, as we say almost every week, there's not really a limit on how many shots you can take. For an event, time may be your biggest issue. Mm-hmm. There may be a perfect shot you have and you only have time to take a shot. But if you have time to take multiple shots, do one centered, do one off center, see which one you like better.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm guessing, you know, when you look at it, you're like, yeah, there's something about that off center one that just looks better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just more aesthetically pleasing.
For whatever reason,
Yeah. And I think it's the way our brains are programmed to look at stuff like that, right? You know?
Well, I mean, there is also that, for vision, there is a dead spot in your eye that's straight ahead.
Yeah, called the circle of confusion.
Yeah. So that's also why your eyes move a little bit, because your vision does have a kind of a blind spot for any movement or anything in the middle. So your eye just move a little bit to kind of make up for that.
Yep. I think we'll skip the next one because it's just simply tap to focus if needed before shooting. I mean, that goes without saying. Yep. But, you know, when you just said take lots of photos, that next point could be the ticket there too.
Yeah, burst mode can help you capture fast action and fleeting moments. I would also say live photos. So you would have to choose what you're more comfortable with. Just hold down the shutter button. And the nice thing with the burst photos is that if you can just kind of scroll through, and if there's multiple burst photos you like, when you start selecting them, you can select multiple photos and save multiple photos.
Yeah.
So it
is
just
editing. This is when you're editing a burst shot, and it gives you know, you could select your favorites out of the the burst.
So it's like you took 200 photos. Which is very easy to do.
Yeah.
And you do it and you're like, well, I like that photo and I like that photo and that one looks interesting. You can do that. And when you hit save, you can save selected and you'll save all three or how many ever you want. You can save all of them, in fact.
Yeah. Because what it'll do in the Photos app is it will, when you're done, you'll have your burst still. Unless you want to delete them all except the ones that you liked. But then you'll also have each one individually as a separate image.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and burst mode is just an invaluable tool. What's it say? Priceless, I guess you could say. It's priceless when it comes to capturing the action or, you know, just looking for that perfect moment when something's going on, just like live photos. Mm-hmm. The only difference is live photos only gives you like 3 seconds of time.
Right.
But still, it could be enough time to, you know, pick the key photo that you want and change that key photo to give you the still image that you want.
Now, if you have a newer phone, don't forget, if you want to get burst mode easy, you can do it right from your regular photos, press and slide to the left.
Yeah,
to and the that gets you burst thumbnail, mode. Yeah. Yep, and that automatically gets you burst mode.
Or you can use the volume up button too, but you'd have to make sure that's turned on in the settings. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next is use editing tools like Auto Enhance to quickly improve photos right on your iPhone.
Yeah.
So if you're taking some group pictures of people or whatever, and you want to send it to them right away, whether it's through AirDrop or through an iMessage or whatever, and you want to just make it look a little better, you know, go into the Photos app. You know, it's probably faster than going into Lightroom Mobile or Darkroom or one of these other ones, and just do an auto enhance. And if that does what you want, fine, you're done. Or you can just go and quickly do a few more adjustments, make it look a little better, and then send it off. You know, you can have it all done within seconds.
And just like as we said about Apple covering 90% of the people.
Yeah.
The built-in editor and photos will be enough for most people for what you need.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you absolutely.
Know, you know, just, and remember, if you click auto, you can also then use the scroll on auto for lighting or darkening while keeping the auto, and it makes the additional adjustments. And then you can, let's say, hit the black point and adjust that. So maybe your darks are black dark, not grayish. That helps out a lot. So that gives you help on, you know, just like you said, like, and lots of times if you're in a well-lit area, you really don't need to fully import it to Lightroom Mobile or, you know, whatever you use. You just need a little cleaning up, nothing major.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that works fine. In fact, it's a lot better than it used to be. They give you a lot of options in there.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't necessarily use the filters they have built in, because it's not that they're horrible, but they're kind of limited.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, and, but you know, in iOS 17, maybe it might have happened before this. I'm not sure. I don't think I noticed it until iOS 17. But with the filters, you can adjust the strength of them. I'm sure it was done before 17. But you know, so if you use, say, a drama filter or whatever, you can adjust the intensity of that filter and how it, you know, reacts to the image. But but you're right. It's a little more limiting. I mean, you're better off to, you know, handle the highlights and shadows and stuff. And
the other thing that will help out is if you have taken photos in similar conditions. Like similar lighting and focus conditions. You work on one photo, you click the three buttons on the upper right, you can click copy edits, go out, select multiple photos, click the buttons, and hit paste edit, and then you can copy that edit to as many photos as you want.
Yeah, yeah, that is so cool. It's such a time saver.
Exactly. That way it's like, oh, all these photos were taken, let's say, within 5-10 minutes of each other. The lighting's kind of similar. All this is similar. You know what? If I can get this one right, I can get 99% of the way with the other ones just by copying, pasting the edits. Do that. That way, if you do it and you're like, oh, that one doesn't look right, or that edit I copied just did, you can adjust on that one only then.
Yeah.
But that will make a huge difference. And most people don't edit their photos. Most people take their photos, do absolutely nothing to them, and then paste them. We're not talking long, long, extensive edits. We're just talking no edits.
Yeah.
And it's like, just look at it real quick. Hit that auto button. See if it looks better. Use the slider. It literally takes a couple seconds. You're like, that cleans it up a little bit, or dehazes it a little bit. Oh, that really, you know, makes it pop a little bit more. Hit save. Yeah. You're done.
Yep. And while we're at it, iOS 17 has an auto crop feature too in photos, where if you have, say you took 15 pictures of someone's baby, you know, in a photo shoot or at a birthday party or whatever, you can select all these photos. And I think it might, I'm not going to pick up my phone again, but it might be in the three dots that you mentioned. And there might be a crop thing where it will actually crop into the face, you know, and it does it. Usually it does it in a pleasing way, and, you know, bang, all your cropping's done too. So you can do multiple edits or multiple crops very quickly in photos. And we're going to do a show on photos, I think, sometime. We're going to go through all the different functions and stuff.
The Photos app.
The Photos app. Yeah. And so, you know, kind of watch for that in the future. But yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful editor for being the one that's included in the phone. So this is something, the next one here is something that you kind of touched on already, is that take vertical portrait shots for posting on social media like Instagram or Facebook. You know, the same goes with quick little videos for Reels or for TikTok. I'm not a proponent of vertical video unless it's going to be used for that kind of a purpose.
Right.
If it's a video that you're going to use for, you know, to put in part of a longer featurette type of thing, where you're going to like make a memory type of video, I prefer to do horizontal, because when you're watching it on your your TV screen or your computer screen or even your phone, you're going to, you know, you get more into it when you do it that way, do it horizontally. But there is a place for vertical video, and that's like reels and things like that, where it, I mean, it's more than okay to do it vertically. And because when people consume that kind of content, it's on their phone and it's in their hand and it's easier to hold. And, you know, like I say, there's a place for that type of portrait portrait orientation.
Right.
So
this next one is something we probably should have mentioned first, because it should be the very first thing you do every time you go to take a photo.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, this is also the back lenses and the front facing lenses.
Yeah.
Wipe your lenses.
Yeah.
You know, most material, I mean, unless you're wearing something like wool, like a wool coat, don't do it. But even if you don't have special material or special lens cleaning, if you have shirts that are made out of cotton or a poly blend, just wipe your lenses. It makes a massive difference.
I've done it on my denim jeans before, you know. Like, these lenses are made of pretty robust materials, so they can handle, you know, the usual wiping of the shirt and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, nothing's worse than trying to get a really good, a really good shot of something and have it look kind of hazy. It's because the lens has got a finger smudges or something on it. And, you know, the same goes, I think we talked about this in the Picture Perfect series that we did recently. And, you know, you're out in the cold, you take your phone out of your pocket. What's the first thing that's going to happen is the lenses are going to, you know, fog up on you. And you may want, if you want to get the shot right away, you may have to wipe that lens off. So, you know, something soft, doesn't have to be a lens tissue or a lens cleaning cloth or whatever, but something soft to just clean that off real quick, get the shot, bang, you're done.
Yeah.
So that wraps it up for our list of ideas for event photography.
Yeah. One thing I will also mention, this isn't 100% photo related, but if you're at an event, put the phone down sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless you're being paid to be a videographer or photographer for an event, make sure you're not spending all your time taking photos, editing photos, posting video, posting stuff that all of a sudden you're an hour later like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did something
happen?
That
is so true.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that is so true. I have gone to events where I thought, okay, I want to capture this moment. And it goes on and on and on. And I end up spending so much time capturing the moment that I miss a lot of it. And I distinctively could recall the last couple of concerts I went to at this local venue we have here. I purposefully took a couple of shots, but other than that, I put my phone in my pocket and I enjoyed the show. You know, my wife was sitting with me and, you know, we can enjoy it together rather than have her enjoy it and then me just sit there and, you know, try to get pictures and all this stuff. Like, it just, I don't think it could be very fun for her. You know, when we leave, she could say, what did you think of this part? What did you think of that part? I don't know. I was too busy taking pictures, you know? So you're right. You're right, Dave. That's a very good point. Stay in the moment, get in the moment. You know, capture what you want. Sure. But don't lose track of the fact that you're there to enjoy something. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's an enjoyable event that you don't want to you don't want to miss because you're too wrapped up in trying to capture it. So, I mean, it's nice to have the memories for you know, the future. But yeah, enjoy the moment. All right, so that wraps up the event part, and now we're going to bring back
the triumphant return.
The triumphant return of our recent photos. This is something that I've been meaning to get back into the fold here for a while. But the Picture Perfect series, it was so involved that we couldn't really we couldn't really include this segment in those episodes. So, I mean, I'm anxious to do this. So, so you sent three. We'll go one apiece. How's that?
Okay.
And we'll start with your first one. You know, the first one is the silhouette.
Yes.
That I have listed here.
Yes. This was actually taken.
This is how far out of. Yes. This is how far
I know what you're. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Out of practice we are with this, but folks, if you're listening on your phone and your app is capable of it, take a look at your phone. You'll be able to see the picture that we're talking about. If you can't, they'll be on the website. You can go there. You can listen on the website if you want, and then you can check out these photos as we talk about them. So I just wanted to get that out there. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for reminding. Okay, so this is a picture of Leo. I was actually just laying down on the couch, and this is just the reason why I did this kind of silhouette image is that it was kind of dark and it was portrait mode. So I thought, well, instead of having a sub average regular photo where it would look a little grainy because it was dark, I decided to try making a silhouette out of it. And I'm trying to remember because it's been a while since I actually did this. I forget exactly what I did this in.
It looks like a Snapseed thing.
I think some of it's Snapseed. Normally, a lot of these things, when I try to do a creative edit, I use three or four different programs. Yeah. So this may be a little bit of Photo Room because it does a really good job with separating your subject from a background. You can replace the background.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I use a lot is what is it?
Vision?
PicLodge for separating, because it can also cut out the thing pretty good too.
Okay.
And then once I did that, I got the background different from what he was. I let the color work on its own, where you can see like it's a little bluish where he is, just because of it was dark, but it wasn't pitch black. So dark will give you a little bit of bluish, and I put a texture on top of it that kind of makes it look like a crinkled paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool, and I love the contrast between the darkness of the cat's silhouette and the background. It's like a really bright yellowy lime green color.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first saw this, I thought, okay, that looks like a grunge effect from Snapseed, and really done to the max. But I think it makes a really cool abstract, even though you could tell it's a cat.
Right.
But it's still kind of like an abstract image, because you really don't know any of the details of any of it other than the fact that it's a cat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, if your background just doesn't turn out right, this is when you can go a little wild with the editing and see what you can get out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our camera club, local camera club, one of the assignments this year is editing to the max. And this is, you know, quintessential editing to the max, in my opinion. I mean, you could tell what it is. It's a cat, but it's just taking things right to the max and just, you know, going to town on it. It's really cool. And I'm glad you did it in color too, because, I mean, you could have done this in black and white, but I think it's way more effective with the brightness of the color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really grabs your attention.
Thanks,
Ray. Yeah, so that's cool. So my first one is, there's a spot not too far from here with this river, and it runs under this bridge that you can walk across. It's kind of in the woods. And I've taken pictures at this place so many times. I could go there any time of year. And this one, it's a little, probably about a foot and a half waterfall. And it's just part of the river. And the water's going over. So this was 30 seconds on reheld. And I deliberately did not take a tripod. Actually, I went out with some friends, my buddy Randy and his wife Maureen. And Maureen took her big camera, and she had her phone with her too, but she took her big camera, tripod, the whole nine yards. Randy and I, we just took our phones because he got the 15 Pro as well, Pro Max. We got the identical phone. And he wanted to go out and just use his phone for the shoot because he's got the big cameras, all that stuff too. And so we went down, you know, down to the river, and he kept making comments to his wife, you know, how you making it with all that gear on your back and all this stuff, you know, and he says, I got mine in my pocket. But you know, him and I both used Reheld, and, I think he might've tried Spectre as well. It was a fun shoot. Perfect time in the fall. It was an overcast day. In fact, it was a little rainy at times, but, you know, this was just, I was standing there. There's the river, it wasn't full. So there were spots where you could stand on the ground that would normally be part of the river, and you can get some pretty good angles of stuff. And I stood there, and this is with the 5X, so 120 millimeter and 30 seconds. So in my opinion, Reheld is the best one for handheld long exposure. And, because I was able to get 30 seconds of this water flowing over to make it nice and smooth. There's no braiding, you know, it's just really cool. And I think I did the edit in darkroom, you know, saturated it, all that stuff, got the highlights and shadows where I wanted them. And, you know, just love shooting at that time of year.
And it's amazing how sharp the edge of the rock is. You know, where there's no water on it, where there's no water going over it, how sharp that is for being handheld for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's also hard to get scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because you literally could have told me this was a 5 foot drop. You could have told me this was a 2 inch drop. And without anything else for scale, it's hard to know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, the leaves is all you have, but I mean, Who knows how big the leaves are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just love taking shots like this, and especially in the fall. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've gone to this location in spring, summer, winter, fall, and I have just as much fun every time I go. So your next one is a pretty cool shot. Was this on a run?
Yeah, this was on a run. So, and this is the one looking through the trusses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There is an island which they redeveloped called Washington's Landing. And to get over on the island, there is a normal like road bridge, but off the trail, they have an old, because it used to be an industrial area, they have like a switchback bridge goes across like an old iron bridge. And this is taken through the old iron trestles there, looking at downtown. So this is why the river's kind of directly underneath me. So this is kind of a back channel of the river.
Yeah.
Looking straight towards downtown Pittsburgh. And I got the city through one of the trusses there.
Yeah. That's cool.
So this is another one where, like we talked about, you know, crouching down and getting a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is actually more on like the hip level. So if you're just walking, if you're just walking up, this is kind of the handrail. The top of the image is the handrail.
Oh, okay.
As you're going up the switches. So you actually have to kind of go down and look through it to get the image here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a overcastish day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the color's gone from the, you know, we're not quite stick season, but we're pretty far there. But I like the reflection because the river was kind of calm, the reflection of the buildings in the river.
Yeah.
I thought that they just picked that up real good. I did do this in Lightroom Mobile. Mm-hmm. The haze feature is absolutely wonderful, especially for something like this where it is a zoom shot. And anytime you get a zoom shot around water, it's going to be a little hazy.
Yeah.
So that kind of cleans up the haze a lot better and makes it a little bit sharper. Plus, I was able to bring up a little bit more of the detail on the bridge that I'm on. Because you can see, like, on the bottom right, you can see the little flower pattern that's in the bridge itself.
Yeah.
So I just kind of liked how the whole, you know, I'm on a bridge, but also in the foreground before the city, there's another bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So lots of bridges action going on there. Plus the clouds were a nice touch too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, nice and textured and mm-hmm. you know, there's texture in the water. Was this just shot with a native camera app?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a native camera app. Yep. Pretty cool. Much everything I would say outside of like long exposure, which I'll use Reheld or one thing I did, it's not included here because it was more of an experiment, but I posted it, I believe, to the group. I know I definitely posted to Instagram. I used Even Longer.
Oh, yeah.
For some star trails. That was a 30-minute exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the way you've got the city and its reflection mm-hmm. framed in this. And actually, it looks more like an industrial part of the city on the left side. You know, on the left side mm-hmm. of that, you know, post or whatever.
It's almost like a partition of the
image. Yeah, yeah.
And that is an old industrial part that's been redone. Like the building you see there, which is the red brick, is now apartments. It used to be a cork factory.
Right. Yeah. And then, there's another segment, I guess, or section, I guess you could say, right above that flower thing you were talking about where mm-hmm. it's just fall foliage. Basically what's left of it. It's like you say, it's the colors are pretty well gone and, but it, you know, it's a great shot, showcasing how you can frame things. I mean, we talked about mm-hmm. framing in our Picture Perfect series, and this is mm-hmm. a perfect example. So my next one, this is
there should be a trigger warning.
A trigger warning?
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I think you're right. Cause it could shock some people. Mm-hmm. So, this is probably one of the best pictures I've taken so far.
This is a great, great photo.
Thank you.
This is absolutely amazing. I'm kidding on the trigger warning.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like, no, but yeah, no, it is an absolutely stunning photo.
Yeah. And it's not from last winter. So this was on the 30th of, no, sorry, this was Halloween. This was on the 31st. I was at work the night before, so I got off that morning. It had snowed through the night, and I was out after work, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, taking pictures of the sunrise and some snow and things like that. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this would be nice if once I get up, I can go out and get some more. Well, when I woke up, it had all melted. And it was gone. Well, then around probably 4 o'clock that afternoon, it started snowing again. And I'm rubbing my palms together thinking, okay, this could get good. And sure enough, the trees were getting covered and the ground was getting covered. Mm. And out I went. I went to a couple of different places. And this is one place where it's kind of a unassumed road really that goes into its parking lot where you can get out and then you can walk through this trail that goes to the local park in the city. Mm. And this particular image is of this island in the middle of the river. And I really was taken aback at how the trees were covered with snow and all this stuff. So this was with, let me think now. This was with the, okay, so I used the native camera app, And I took advantage of the different focal lengths that come with the main camera. So this one was set at 35 millimeters. Now it's been cropped to like a 16:9 ratio, just because there was, you know, too much sky, and actually the shoreline was at the bottom, and I thought it was really, you know, it didn't really fit in the image. So I cropped it out, and I did this edit in Lightroom Mobile, which I've really been getting into lately. I'm really liking some of the features in that, like the like dehaze. It's it's invaluable in some situations. So I mean, it's just a winter scene in the middle of fall. I mean, we're October 31st is probably about halfway, not even halfway through autumn.
Yeah, about to say, we still got 5-6 weeks left until the beginning of winter.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's too early. But this is the type of picture that I could see on the cover or on the a cover of a magazine or a header of a website for like the Visitor Bureau. Come to picturesque Owen Sound.
Yeah.
you know, home of winter, a home of snowy pleasure, or something like that.
Yeah,
they would put on it.
It must make you wonder, though, that like I'm sometimes on Tiny Shutter, I used to be the brunt of the jokes of, you know, summer lasting for 3 weeks in July, and the rest of it was winter because I was the Canadian. And you know, when you see something like this, you have to wonder, gosh, is there any truth to that? But I mean, you know, it's all gone again. You know, we got no more snow again. But you know, I went around that night, and this was just before dark. And then I got some after dark in the local park with some lights and things like that. So, you know, it was just a real opportunity to get out and get some shots like this. And I just really fell in love with this one. So, you know, I did some sharpening and whatnot in Lightroom Mobile. And this is a color image, folks. When you're looking at this, this is not a black and white image. This is a color image. And I even bumped the saturation just a little bit to try to enhance some of the color. But there was so much snow covering everything that you basically you don't see too much color.
No.
So, but I was really happy with it.
Oh, yeah. And to go about the joke, you're only 9 degrees Fahrenheit colder than us right now.
Oh, yeah. Our weather patterns are very similar.
Yeah. And you just tend to get a lot more snow and it stays there than what we do, or at least the last couple of years than what we do, because we have not had a lot of snow recently.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like I say, our weather patterns are very similar. If I'm having dull drab days here, you seem to be having them there for some reason. I don't know what it is.
And we're really not that close. That's a crazy thing. We are not that close at all.
Yeah, we're probably, well, I don't know how many miles apart we are, but it's quite a ways, really. Like it would be the best part of a day's driving if we were to drive from one place to the next.
At least.
Yeah. So your next one is a little more brighter and sunshinier.
Yeah, this was actually taken yesterday morning. Yeah, right before the run. So this was basically I parked downtown because that's where the race finished, but it started across the river. And a lot of people had the same idea because there were a lot of us crossing the bridge. So this is around 6:45 in the morning. This is the one advantage of daylight savings time ending, is that it was light enough to start the race at 7:30 in the morning instead of having to wait to 8:30 so we could see exactly where we're going.
Yeah.
And this is just crossing the bridge. I just love the sunrise there. And the way the water on the river just kind of rippled was going on. And I believe geese, question mark. I'm not too sure.
It looks like
that geese, are in the foreground. Yeah, that are in the foreground that were just kind of going across there.
I would think swans, but I think they're more inclined to be geese. Yeah,
geese. It would be geese. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, they're also known as cobra chickens.
Yeah. So looking at the surface of the water, that kind of tells me that there was a bit of a breeze.
There was nothing, nothing too severe. Nothing too severe.
Yeah.
But enough where it was, you felt it a little bit.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, the sky is nice and bright and colorful and, you know, the rest of the image, like the water, especially being having that blue tone to it, just screams cold. You know, so it wasn't freezing that day.
No.
You said it was like in the mid 40s, I think.
Yeah, I think it was mid 40s at the start of the run.
So that's
40, so it wasn't too bad. Yeah, it was above freezing.
That's probably about 10 degrees Celsius, which is, you know, not too cold, but it's not exactly tropical either.
Chilly, but, you know, we're just talking.
You're not in Palm Springs anymore, are you, David?
No, that is true. That is very true. That is very true. But I also liked how with the with the two bridges, which kind of also make the horizon directly in front of you where they overlap.
Yeah.
So there's a subway bridge in the foreground and a road bridge in the background. So they kind of make interference patterns with each other.
Yeah.
With the different structures.
But at the same time, they kind of blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, with the lights still on some of the buildings, that's kind of cool. And had you not said this was in the morning, one would think that it could very well be in the evening.
True.
You know, like it's sometimes you could tell a sunrise from a sunset, especially if there's like fog, that's generally a morning thing. And, but this particular shot, it's kind of hard to tell. But I also like the way some of the foliage on the trees on the right hand side is actually lit from the sun, so it's kind of highlighted. And
that actually was this is where editing in the camera can show things your eyes maybe don't pick up,
right?
The like the little bit of green over there and a little bit of the kind of dark reddish. That was really, the camera picked it up more than the eye would see, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of that's in editing too.
Yeah. But I think had the sun not been that low in the sky and maybe caught that to the point where the camera picked it up, it would just be a black area, right? With no detail. Yeah. But, you know, the camera picked up the detail and, you know, it's showing up, which is, I think it just adds to the picture. You know, you have all these different elements. You've got the sky, you've got the water, the surface of the water, you got the birds in the water, the left side, you've got the lights on the buildings. You know, you got the bridges going across. And then on the right side, sure, you've got lights on in some places there, but that foliage being detailed like that, I think that really adds to it as well.
Yeah.
So another ripper shot.
Thank you. Thank you.
So my third one, this was, I just got off work one morning and the moon was full as full could be. And it was low in the sky and the clouds were moving very quickly. So I was trying to get a good shot of, you know, the moon amongst the clouds. I wasn't trying to get the detail on the moon. I know that's not going to happen with the iPhone, at least not without a tripod and maybe another telephoto lens or whatever, but just the way it was. So I drove down to this place where there's like a kind of like a park area and then these trees. And then beyond the trees is the escarpment that kind of goes down. And then you got more of the city down below. But this was right on the horizon. And I thought, wow, that looked really cool with the trees silhouetted by the brightness of the moon and the moon lighting up these clouds. this is almost as it was shot. I didn't have to do a whole lot of editing to this. The clouds were moving really quickly. And I wanted to get a shot before they got in front of the moon and, just blocked it all out. So, that's basically it. You can see a couple of stars up in the right-hand corner on the top right corner.
Okay.
There is that little blob of lens flare.
I was going to ask, was that lens flare towards the left? Because it does have that greenish tinge that lens flare has.
You know, and they say it on the iPhone 15 and I'm thinking 15 as well as the 15 Pros, they were going to do some reduction of that flare. And I think it's evident in that picture, but I mean, it's still there.
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder if I can get rid of that. If I tried to clone that out, it just would have made a big mess of those branches and it would have been very obvious. So I just,
the only thing I can think of is like touch retouch.
I thought about that, you know, but I thought, no, it's probably going to make a mess, you know? Yeah. So
it doesn't really stick out. Luckily.
No, it's not too bad. It's not as bad as it would have been like 5 years ago for sure.
Yeah.
But it kind of
matches because the way the photo is, it almost has a, like almost like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because the trees have lost all their leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The moon's all the way out. But like you said, it's peaking between the clouds above and below it.
Yeah, yeah.
So having that green orbish, it kind of matches a lot with the rest of the, you know, like we've seen the orbs that really stand out in photos, which distract from it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've seen how horrible they can be. This one isn't too bad. This one, I would say, is not too bad.
Yeah. And here's a little tip, folks. Check your file format before you shoot, because when I shot, I generally keep things in Pro Raw. This was with the native app, and it was not, it was set to non-RAW, like it was set to hike. So I think I kind of messed up a little bit because you can see some banding around in the sky at the top, where it's not a nice smooth transition in the tones there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because it was not shot in Pro Raw. So basically I kind of blew it, but I was in such a hurry to get the shot. I stopped the car. I got out. I just grabbed my phone, put the camera app on, pointed and shot. And this one here, I believe, yeah, this was with the 5X. And no, I don't think I zoomed it at all. I did try some with the zoom full out to see if I can get detail on the moon. And I had to wonder why they weren't working very well. And after I got home and checked it out, it was because they were in JPEG or hike or whatever. So kind of messed up. But live and learn.
Like you said, there's only so much you can do a lot of times, especially with this is a continual complaint that a lot of us have, that it'd be nice if Apple spent some of the resources and a few hundred people on not just astrophotography, but moon photography.
Mm-hmm.
Because people obviously want to take pictures of the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever fakery, sorcery, whatever Samsung does or Huawei or, you know, Google Pay, whatever, you know, they do a better shot at moonshots than the iPhone. And eventually it's got to rub someone the wrong way because it is one of those throw it on the screen and it's easy to tell. You don't have to guess. You can say, that's the moon, and look at it. It's not a blob.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be getting under the camera. People's like, we have to be able to do it. We can see what they do. We could do it like that. We're not stupid.
Yeah. And there's more than 10%, you know, the 90-90 rule, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's the 10% of us that want to do stuff like this. And I think there's probably more than 10% that want to get a decent shot of the moon with their phone. And I think it's Patrika in the Bloody Legends group who always say, oh, there's always next year, Apple, because he's a Huawei guy. And he's got the 10x zoom, and he takes phenomenal pictures with it. But so those are our photos, and don't forget, you can see them on the website. If you've been listening along on your phone, you should have been able to see them in the Apple Podcasts app, Overcast. There's a few different apps that can do the enhanced version of the podcast that we put out, and you should be able to see them. And hopefully they were oriented properly. I noticed the odd time I put them up there, Dave, they rotate half a turn for some reason. Yeah, I don't know why it does that. I'm not sure, but it must be something to do with the software that I do, you know, the chapters and all that stuff in. But anyway, I guess that's it. It was so nice to be able to talk about our pictures again. And we'll definitely keep this going. And one of the things that got me really wanting to get this back into play again was I got a comment on that snow picture, and the fellow that made the comment said it would be nice to hear this on your recent photos segment on the podcast. And I thought, yep, that's good. That's definitely going to be one of them then. And I think it's nice to not only talk about our pictures, you know, amongst each other like this, but it kind of, I think it can act as a learning tool for people listening. And, I think it's a valuable segment, and I haven't heard any complaints about it. Let's put it that way. So that's a good thing.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So we have no idea what we'll talk about next time. And we might not know until a couple of days before the show, because we fly by the seat of our pants.
But also, if someone has something, you know, go to the Facebook group, go to the website, let us know. We can't guarantee we're going to do it, but we're always looking for, you know, there's two of us, but there's a whole bunch of people out there listening.
Yeah.
And listening to a whole bunch of people is always better than just listening to two people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We're always open to ideas and you know, even critiques on the show. You know, tell us what you like, what you don't like. Heck, go to the podcast app on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. I haven't checked lately to see if anybody's done that, but you know, it might help us get noticed by a few more people or whatever. But we'd always appreciate any comments that you have. So, all right. Well, Dave, let's tell people where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on most social media as ProfPod. You can find me on TikTok as ProfPodPGH. And on the Facebook group as Dave Podner Jr.
All righty. Well, you can find me in the Facebook groups that are listed in the show notes, just with my name, Greg McMillan. And Instagram is McMillan Photo, same with Threads. And on X as McMillan_photo. And the website for the show is iphonography.ca, and our show notes are all there and past episodes, and you can listen to them. And if there's any pictures in the episodes, they'll be on there. This is, like I say, this is the first time in a few months we've had them, but we're going to keep it going. So thanks everybody for playing along, and I guess we'll see you all in the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.
On this episode of the show, we talk about the recent Apple event, not so much what they announced, but how they announced it. We're also going to bring back our recent photos. It's been a while, and we're happy to do it. All this coming up. How was that?
The only thing is, the main thing we talked about was event photography.
Oh, shit. Okay. Take it away.
Okay.